He's New England's preeminent source on everything Patriots.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
I have been told the same thing Curran has been told.
The one and only Tom E. Curran. Tom Curran joining us.
I bend over to Tommy Curran.
Tom Curran joining us from NBC Sports Boston.
It's time for Tuesday.
Monday.
With Tom.
I'm surprised about Tom E. Curran.
E.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Curran. On Dale and Keith.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Keep on laughing.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline from NBC Sports Boston is our buddy Tom E. Curran. Well, that was a bit of a Sunday night Patriots news dump, wasn't it?
Huge, huge flurry of information, Dale. And, I can't help but think that the two might not be related.
So, explain that a little bit more to us. Would they not have signed Cam Newton if it wasn't to cover up Spygate 2, or was it strictly the timing of it? How do you think they were connected? Because I definitely think there's something there. There has to be.
Yeah, I mean, they can't control the announcement of the penalty. If it's going to leak, it's going to leak, and it leaked. They can control the announcement of an agreement with Cam Newton. I can't imagine that they said, what can we do tonight to set off a bunch of fireworks that will distract attention? I'm sure that they were down the road. But if indeed they realized that, hey, this is going to come out Monday, the NFL's going to announce it. And they said, you know what, let's just get this Cam thing out there. I don't feel like having a full day of Deflategate, Spygate, and every other gate that's ever come down the pike that we've been affiliated with, attached to us. Now, maybe it is just the most bizarre conspiracy, or the most bizarre coincidence that it did happen on Sunday night, June 28th. A void in which you will never find, if you go back through the annals of NFL history, very many blips on the radar screen. It's flatline time. So I think it's a coincidence. But you're right, Rich. Were they going to sign him? I can't imagine they're spending time, money, and effort to do a wag-the-dog operation. I'm sure that they want Cam Newton here.
Tom, my former boss, the great Fred Kirsch, once said, don't listen to what Bill Belichick says. Judge his actions. And for about 3 months, we've watched him not add a quarterback. He didn't go get Andy Dalton. He didn't jump after Jameis Winston or Cam Newton, didn't draft Jordan Love. And I think a lot of people, and myself included, said, well, I guess you can take this as no other than a sign that he's confident in Jared Stidham. And then, you know, a month before training camp, the price apparently got right. He gets Cam Newton. Do I read this as a lack of confidence in Stidham, or do we just simply have a wide open quarterback competition with a wide open plan?
I think it's more of, I don't think it's a lack of confidence in Stidham. I think it's an opportunity to, I hate to say it and sound just like them, make the team better. You put somebody out there that if he's better than Stidham, well, then Stidham might not have been that good. But if you can beat back the challenge of Cam Newton and Brian Hoyer, well, then maybe you have something. I mean, 70% of Cam Newton, I wrote this last night, is going to win in a 70% athletically and health-wise of Cam Newton is going to dominate those two guys. But is he going to be at that point? And meanwhile, he's missed all of the offseason, whatever it was, and these two guys are going to have a huge head start in terms of running the offense, and I would imagine are going to take, you know, starter reps early in training camp and into the preseason if and when those things come to pass. So I don't think the Cam comes in here as somebody who the Patriots said, we got to go get him because Stidham sucks.
If we think back a couple of years ago, the reports were that Josh McDaniels was intrigued by the thoughts of Lamar Jackson. Reportedly, they even had him in here for a visit. And obviously, Lamar Jackson's offense would be totally different from Tom Brady's offense. If we look at it now, I would expect Jarrett Stidham's offense would be different than Cam Newton's. What are they going to start working on?
I don't think it will be. I think that this offense already in this past few months, we haven't seen it, is already vastly different than what we saw. That's the indications that I've gotten is that the offense has already begun its morphing on paper. And we're going to see a very different offense regardless of whether it's Cam Newton or Jarrett Stidham or even Brian Hoyer. You're going to take advantage of the abilities that those guys have and the shortcomings that they also own in terms of processing defenses and throwing with great accuracy the way Tom Brady could. So play to their strengths. That's an old tenet of of course, you guys know as well, you know, find the things that someone does well and play to those strengths. And if that is challenging at the perimeter of the defense, moving, making the quarterback another person that you have to defend instead of dealing with his brain, then that's something they're going to do. And I think that the Patriots have looked at that as something that they could benefit from, especially as the NFL's morphing. Look, Brady was never anybody's idea of an anchor, but there are different avenues that you can go down that had roadblocks on them when Tom was here.
Now, the last time we talked, or at least that I talked to you, and Cam Newton's name got brought up, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would say you were very down on Cam Newton. Maybe you hated Cam Newton. I'm not sure how I would describe
it. Hate strong.
Hate is strong, but I'm painting a picture here, Tom. I feel like, was it mostly injury, or was it also other parts of his game that you didn't like?
As it relates to the Patriots, it's a guy who's got bizarre footwork, who will throw with his, you know, genitalia pointing directly at the receiver,
what?
As opposed to, I mean, he just opens up.
Hips.
Well, again, we're painting a picture here. So
I read you.
I mean, so we're talking about going from the most fundamentally sound quarterback in NFL history to a guy who's got about 37 different throwing platforms, if you want to use that, 47 different release points, has only been over 60% completions two times in a career that began in 2011. In 2016, he just sucked. 17 and 18, the seasons ended with shoulder injuries. 2019, it ended with a foot injury. I didn't love him as a fundamental. I mean, he's an incredibly powerful guy, but it just his ability to play the position without the side issues of mistakes and inaccuracy were impossible to avoid. And with the guy at 31, I didn't see him as being a great fit. Can he do things that are going to be interesting to watch? Yeah, but I still think that, you know, the hips, for lack of to be more genteel about it, the hips pointing at the receivers, it's just not something you see, and it's going to lead to inaccuracy. I mean, we've all seen Cam Newton play a ton.
Right.
Some of those throws that he makes, how the two best Patriots guys, Andy and Rich and Dale, we could all agree the two most valuable offensive players of the Patriots over the last 3 years have probably been James White and Julian Edelman.
Yes.
Those guys need the ball on them in a particular spot to get them in a position to make yards. Can Cam Newton do that with those guys?
So beyond the physical and the questions about the offense and the on the field, you and I have seen a lot of different personalities come through this locker room the last 20 years, and it seems like virtually all of them found a way to fit. If they wanted to make it work, they made it work. I'm wondering, how does Cam Newton, the personality, the guy who wears number one, the diva, the post-game, you know, get-ups, how does that guy fit in a Patriots locker room?
Honest to God, I think it's really a one-day-at-a-time thing. Worry about that once he becomes a starter and has to go to the podium and talk. I mean, it'll be fascinating, won't it, Andy, to see if he is at the podium after preseason games.
Yep. You know, what's he wearing, Tom?
But I don't – I mean, look, Brady was pretty eccentric by the time he left. So I don't think the eccentricities are going to be necessarily – look, we all have spoken about, reported on, now had it sink in that the dynamic between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick was very strained over the last few years. With Newton, you have a guy who's coming in at $24 million less with a similar chip on his shoulder. – And if he's treating this as a one-year Darrell Revis, I'm going to rehabilitate and then go back and make my dough, this is the only opportunity. It's the best opportunity. They have five national television games. Everybody's fixated on how the Patriots will do post-Brady. He's in a great spot to make it work. So all that said, I think they meet halfway. You have to accept guys for who they are. I think that that's something that's kind of gone on this summer with us understanding, you know, the Kaepernick stuff and the kind of the racial reckoning. Look, everybody's not going to fit the same suit, and to scoff at, roll your eyes at, or, you know, otherwise dismiss because people act differently, dress differently. I think we probably should start to get past that too, because I think that there's, you know, I don't want to call it a dog whistle, but I think sometimes it might be. Is it? Am I wrong?
He might be right. I think he will allow him to be a little more freewheeling than he let some others, perhaps. We'll see. Now, Bill Belichick has coached against Cam Newton twice in his career. Cam Newton is 2-0 against New England. One of those involved a blown non-interference call against Luke Kuechly, but he's 2-0 against them. 41 of 57, 525 yards, 6 touchdowns and a pick. Is this just Bill Belichick falling in love with what he saw play against him?
Yeah, that happens a lot. We know that with from Roosevelt Colvin to Wes Welker to Dalis Thomas to any number of players that we could come up with over the years. So if you in joint practices, we've seen it over and over and over again. So I think that you when you lose to somebody and they took over a game the way Newton did in 2013, you know, I mean, they'd have them in like 3rd and 8. And I just remember him just rumbling over people, around people, and stiff-arming some of his best players. I mean, to see Cam Newton, Dale, have you ever seen him in uniform in yeah. person?
Oh, yeah, once.
He's a mountain of a man.
Close up?
Yeah.
It's astounding how huge he is. So, yeah, I think you're right, Dale. I think that the affinity that you get from having played and lost to a guy is certainly there.
Forget the timing of it, but what do you make of the punishment that the Patriots got for the filming?
I think it's insane. And I think it's probably more than the Patriots expected. And it certainly is something that Bill Belichick was absolutely livid about when it came to pass for a variety of reasons, mainly because he knew how it would be viewed and what it would dredge up. And now that not only has the business and entertainment side interceded to cost them a draft pick and $1 million, it's going to revisit and rehash those moments where the Patriots have been called to the principal's office before. So it's Andy?
Yes.
It's not going to be real good.
No.
For Bill's tenor with the in-house production folks. And, ooh, you know, that's the kind of thing that it's important to continue to market the brand. That's why they're able to have a $200 million salary cap. So this is the stuff, and to pay Bill Belichick whatever the salary is that he collects. So it's there are cross purposes, and Bill could suck it up and deal with it as long as it didn't intercede. But now that it has, I can't imagine he's too psyched.
Tom, I know these questions are frowned upon by the person who is being asked them sometimes, but we've been doing percentages around here for months and months and months about the quarterback position. Percentage Tom Brady leaves, he stays, he retires, blah, blah, blah. Give me the percentage that Cam Newton is the opening day starter against the Miami Dolphins on September 13th.
48.
Oh, just under 50. Damn you. Damn you. Do the other 52 go to Stidham?
Hey, you split those up too.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, honest to God, all things being equal, if you put three guys and say run the same play 3 times in a row, I mean, can Newton look as good as he might look in a training camp controlled atmosphere where the plays end and there's no scrambling and there's no stepping out of trouble or throwing with a guy hanging off of you? Can he do that? Can he play off script in the Patriots offense? That to me is everything. This is the most scripted post-snap offense there's ever been. Even with the option routes, those are scripted. And now they're bringing in a guy who is, along with Ben Roethlisberger, the king of the off script. So can he look good? It's going to be really hard for him to look good in training camp, isn't it?
Yes, and I will tell you this, Tom. I don't know if we'll be at training camp. I have no idea where any of that is going. But if I'm on a sideline or the back of the end zone and Cam Newton's throwing like a crossing pattern, my head is on a swivel because I think he can overthrow by 5 yards at a high velocity at any point in time.
Yeah, it's and that's what – I mean, he's not going to get miraculously more accurate, is he?
No.
I mean, you are what you are. I mean, he's – Josh Allen dreams about being Cam Newton, but there are some similarities there.
All things being equal, and assuming both are healthy, I understand that the supporting cast is different. But if both are healthy, who's a better quarterback this year, Brady or Newton?
Brady. And I'm trying to talk to Chris Sims later because he has Brady at 15.
He's got him up there before he even signed with anybody.
Yeah, but Brady, I mean, he's more accurate.
Better receivers.
Yeah, he's just a better thrower of the football. And I think that's what it comes down to. Even in 2020, when we're talking about the revolutionary notion that quarterbacks need to be mobile, Tom Brady throws it better than Cam Newton. He will tomorrow. He will in 20 years.
Where does Tom Brady's genitalia point when he throws?
In the right direction.
Sorry, I thought it was a fair question.
Where it's supposed to go.
It points at the sideline. It points directly at the sideline where it's supposed to.
Or it points at the sun. It's hard to say.
You never know.
When the pass rush gets there.
Tom, we've seen more teams open to the idea of using two quarterbacks, whether it's Taysom Hill and Drew Brees, or even Mariota and Tannehill at times last year. Any chance, and I don't know if Newton would love the idea of it, but is that something that McDaniels could maybe utilize? Like maybe he likes Stidham on certain plays. He likes the idea of Newton. Could we maybe see that?
You can't rule anything out. Unbelievably interesting, and it would again be, honestly, that – this was something that came up with Kaepernick, and I think I was talking to Mutt or you guys about this, but with Kaepernick specifically, that would be such a loaded decision, recipe by any team to say, hey, we got this package of plays where you're supposed to come in and run around.
Right.
That would be basically rolling the clock back to 1974. Yeah, we can't have you in the pocket making decisions, but we're going to have this package of plays where you run around. Maybe we'll give you some reps of wideout. I mean, I can't imagine that. I know that's not what you're driving at, but I think it is a loaded decision. And I think that if Cam ends up being, oh, here comes Cam Newton to run read option.
Yeah.
That people will
I just
say.
Think like even if Stidham completely outplays them, I think once you're on the goal line, I couldn't think of a better option than Cam Newton. Like whether he's
you're
handing
exactly
the ball
right.
off or him, just the threat of him is as good as there is in the goal line. But again,
if
you're right.
Cam
that's
Newton,
sort of a tough selling.
Cam Newton doesn't win the job, will he ask for his release?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably. I can't.
Well, maybe
envision.
I think it might depend on, you know, did a quarterback somewhere else get hurt or right. that if everybody's healthy, then listen, they all had a chance to sign him right now and nobody wanted him. So maybe you say, all right, I'll see if Stidham loses the job or whatever else. But if there's an opening, I would think he would want out. I think he for sure wants to start.
Yeah, and if he comes in here and has a couple good preseason games, you know, goes 7 for 10 for 133 yards, and he shows he's got mobility and that he can actually throw it hard, which he had difficulty doing a couple years ago, then, you know, then he's done the rehabbing without having to go through the season here. But I can't imagine he wants to be, you know, an Auburn Hall of Famer looking up at a guy who played there for 15 minutes and not being able to beat him out.
Tom, what did you make of the reaction to this signing via social media? Again, this is part of the new age aspect of our job. You know, googly mm-hmm. eyes from people and looking at. And what do you think Jarrett Stidham makes of that? Is there a divide immediately when Cam Newton comes in terms of teammates saying, that's Cam Newton, former MVP, he should be the starter?
Oh, that's a great question. I hadn't even thought of that. I mean, I hadn't even thought of the dynamic between those two. I mean, how many did we see from offense? We saw Stephon Gilmore. We saw McCourty.
James White.
Very many.
James White had googly eyes.
James White had the eyeball emoji, sure.
That may change when he throws a ball at his shins.
I believe Isaiah Wynn as well.
Oh.
I believe. Yes. So.
I mean, he's a dynamic player. He's a former MVP. I don't blame him. But it's certainly just it's chip size. Now he's got a bigger reason. Now he can have a bigger chip. Ooh. Everybody needs a chip.
That's true. Edelman's got a chip. Newton's got a chip. Stidham's got a chip. Championship.
Come on.
Oh, that was good.
No,
that was good.
I don't like it.
Okay. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Yeah. Well, he's a writer. He knows how words work.
He gets it. It's better than Tom's genitalia comment, but only marginally.
That Tom, that's going to be racked and saved, isn't
it? That's a keeper.
I'll be in the new open next week, I'm guessing.
It's my new ringtone, too. So just so
well,
you
the
know.
Best is Rich going, what?
No, that was Dale.
That was Dale.
All right. We always appreciate the time, Tom. We'll talk to you again soon.
See you guys.
Thanks, Tom.
See you. Have a great week.